Brother Bernie Parkinson will now consider the next part of this symposium, Maintain Loyalty in Word.
So we've just learned that our loyalty to Jehovah starts with our thoughts. But it doesn't end there. What do we mean? Well, think of Jesus' words, Jesus' comments in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. At the conclusion of that verse, he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we know that our figurative heart is affected by the things we think about. And then our heart affects our speech. So really then, our speech is a reflection of our thoughts. So just as we show that we maintain loyalty to Jehovah by our thoughts, we also show that we are loyal or have a lack of loyalty by our speech. Jehovah, our loyal God, is a God of communication. And he has given us a wonderful gift, a gift of speech, communication. But a dramatic difference between how Jehovah communicates and how we as imperfect humans communicate is that Jehovah always uses his communication for good, whereas we as imperfect humans use our communication sometimes for good, but we may also use it for bad. That was the point that James made in James chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. There James used an illustration. He likened our tongue, or our gift of speech, to something, unfortunately, that in this area we are very familiar with. Fire. James reminded us of how small a fire it takes to cause terrible devastation. And then he used that same illustration to make the point that a very small part of our body, our tongue, can also result in disastrous consequences if not used properly. Then he said how inappropriate it would be for us to use our gift of speech, our communication, our words, to praise Jehovah God as well as to speak badly of our fellow humans. So how do we use our words to show that we maintain loyalty to Jehovah God? We're going to look at two ways. The first way is, do not sow seeds of disloyalty. Never underestimate how the power of your speech can affect the loyalty of others. Negative speech in front of our children, Bible students, or others can undermine their appreciation for, their confidence in those whom Jehovah is using to take the lead. Let's look at an example of this. Numbers chapter 13 is the account of when the Israelites were about to enter the promised land after being delivered from Egypt. So we remember that before they went in, they sent in 12 men, spies, to see what the land was like. Verses 27 through 33 contain the report that they brought back with them. 10 of these spies had a very negative report. They said, the people are giants, their cities are huge and well fortified. Well, we even saw some of the Nephilim there. Well, now we know they were exaggerating. They didn't see any Nephilim there because the Nephilim had all died in the flood. But this negative report began to sow seeds of disloyalty. What effect did it have? Well, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Numbers chapter 14. And we're going to read together verse 2. Numbers chapter 14, verse 2 says, all the Israelites began to murmur against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly spoke against them, saying, if only we died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Do we see the point? The report of only 10 men caused the entire nation of Israel to speak disrespectfully, with a lack of loyalty toward Jehovah's representatives, Moses and Aaron. Now, how did Jehovah view this? Well, in that same chapter, if you just go over to verses 26 and 27, Numbers 14, 26 and 27, notice it says, Jehovah then said to Moses and Aaron, how much longer will this evil assembly keep up this murmuring against you? No, that's not what he said, is it? What he said was, how much longer will this evil assembly keep up this murmuring against me? I have heard what the Israelites are murmuring against me. Jehovah viewed the lack of loyalty demonstrated by their words against his appointed representatives as against him. Jehovah took this lack of loyalty personally. So what do we learn from this account regarding maintaining loyalty in word? We never want to allow our negative speech about those in positions of responsibility or any of our brothers and sisters to undermine the loyalty of others. The second area where we demonstrate loyalty by our words is by guarding against expressions of sympathy or support for Satan's system of things. So we might say it's exactly the opposite from the first point. The first point was that we would never want to speak negatively of Jehovah's arrangement of things. The second point is that we would not speak positively about Satan's wicked system of things. In Exodus chapter 23 in verse 13, the Israelites were commanded, and you must not mention the names of other gods. So did that mean the Israelites didn't know the names of other gods or that they might not come up in conversation? No. What it meant was they were not to refer to these gods with feelings of awe or in a way that would credit these gods with any existence or power. So we can imagine an Israelite saying, you know that nation next to us that worships Baal? Look at how he has made their crops prosper. Or look at how he has protected them from their enemies. These false gods were to be regarded with contempt, as valueless, shameful, detestable, disgusting. Just imagine the effect on others when individuals in positions of responsibility, like kings and prophets, would make supportive or even sympathetic comments about false gods. There's an example contained in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 2. Here the Israelite king, the king of Israel, Ahaziah, injured himself. And what does he say? He says, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, to find out whether I will recover from this injury. How disloyal to Jehovah those words were. And Israel's history showed that such verbal disloyalty by those in responsible positions turned many away from true worship. So what do we learn from this that will help us to maintain loyalty in word? Parents, elders, and others with a measure of authority must think carefully about how their comments about this system of things, its values, its entertainment, can affect others. So we've discussed two areas to avoid in order to maintain our loyalty by our words. So how can we express loyalty in word? Well, one way is when we receive clarifications of our beliefs or adjustments in organizational procedures. This can test our loyalty. Why? Well, because sometimes our emotions get involved. Maybe it's a teaching or a procedure, an arrangement that's particularly dear to us. Maybe it's one that we've had a share in for a long time. So how do we show by our words that we maintain loyalty to Jehovah? The short answer, imitate the Apostle Peter's example. The account in John chapter 6 is a discussion of when Jesus was talking to a number of his followers, and when he made the comment that he was the bread from heaven and that they needed to eat this bread, well, some of his followers started to argue among themselves, murmur. Then Jesus followed up with even more graphic figurative language to emphasize the importance of exercising faith. The account in John chapter 6, verse 53, it says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Most truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves.'" Well, what was the effect when some of his followers heard that? Well, verse 60, it says, "When they heard this, many of the disciples said, 'This speech is shocking. Who can listen to it?'" And then verse 66 says, "Because of this, many of his disciples went off to the things behind and would no longer walk with him." What about Peter? Well, look at John chapter 6, starting at verse 67. It says, "So Jesus said to the 12, 'You do not want to go also, do you?' And verse 68 says, "Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, whom shall we go away to? You have sayings of everlasting life.'" Peter was going to be loyal to Jesus. Now, did Peter understand what Jesus meant by those expressions? Probably not, certainly not fully. But what he did understand was Jesus had sayings of everlasting life. And there's no indication that Peter thought to himself, "Well, you know, Jesus is obviously mistaken, and at some point in time in the future, he will go back to what we believed before." No. Peter understood that Jesus had sayings of everlasting life, that he was the Holy One of God. Can we imagine how encouraging those expressions of Peter's would have been to those other disciples that were listening as they heard Peter avow his loyalty to Jesus? So using Peter's example, what should we do if we encounter a point in our Christian publications or an adjustment in organizational procedures that's hard for us to understand or that may not match our present understanding? We should try hard to get the sense of it rather than thinking to ourselves, "Well, down the road there will be a change that will more closely match my thoughts." In the following dramatization, note how our sister strives to maintain her loyalty in word.
"Since even the most loyal and devoted Christians are imperfect, when an appointed servant makes a mistake, let us continue to do all things free from murmuring. Philippians 2:14.
Good on proceeding track maintenance. There will be delays on trains 5, 6, and 7. All uptown stops can expect 30 to 35 minute delays."
"Does that mean we're going to be late?"
"Yes. Yes, we are. Finish that."
I really appreciate the scripture because it helps us to guard against the spirit of the world.
And how might these scriptures help us in choosing our entertainment? Sister Edwards?
"Vampires, werewolves, witches are all associated with the spirit world. So if our entertainment involves any of these, we might meditate on Psalms 97:10 and ask ourselves, 'Do I really hate what Jehovah hates?'"
Sister Thorne. And let's hear from young Sister Winkler. Any other thoughts before we move on? Sister Perez. excuse me. Hey, Simone, how you doing?
Good, how are you,
Matthias? Good. You know, we have the congregation cleaning tonight. Any chance you might be able to take care of the bathrooms?
Sure, Matthias. There's nothing I'd love to do more. It's not like I don't do enough of this all day, every day. Oh, and did I mention how much I appreciate all the brothers not calling on me tonight? Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. Mommy didn't mean that.
It's okay, Mom. I know you're tired.
That's no excuse. Here, let's go sit together. I was just frustrated. I never should have said that. You know, on the train, I was actually listening to an article about not murmuring against the elders, even if they make mistakes. I guess I should have meditated on that a little more. Madison, I want you to know that our elders work very, very hard. Do you remember last week when they came for that shepherding visit?
Yeah, Matthias and his wife brought groceries the next day.
That's right, they brought us groceries. The elders care about us so much, and they truly deserve our respect. I never should have said that. You understand?
I understand.
Okay, good girl. All right, you know what? Why don't we finish up the mirrors together? Sound good?
All right.
Okay.
So when your loyalty in word is tested, will you be like the 10 disloyal spies whose lack of loyalty affected the loyalty of others? Or will you be like loyal Peter, whose loyalty was demonstrated by his words and who strengthened the loyalty of others? By your speech, you can bolster the loyalty of your brothers and sisters and defend Jehovah and those he is using to take the lead.